You don't rest when you're laboring. You're resting when you are reaping the fruit of what you have not labored for. Jesus made a very strong statement. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored.
Welcome to Harvest Family Church. We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. Our prayer is that you would accept this seed of God's word in order to reap from the finished work of Jesus. Join us now for today's segment.
There were a lot of things that we were talking about last service, but you know, where we ended, I think the very last reference that we gave during last service was that joy comes in the morning. And that's really, I think, where we want to start from tonight. Joy comes in the morning. And here's why. Let me show you why this is so important. You know, the Lord, He's trained us really well when it comes to, you know, in things like, for instance, like rest, and in things about the works of the flesh and not wanting to, you know, for us to live and activate the flesh, but living by the Spirit, right? And walking by the Spirit. But, you know, I'm going to show you something just real quick. And if you look at it, you know, it's difficult sometimes to kind of understand how you hear it, you know, because sometimes the way the Lord is speaking it to you, you know, and then you say that to somebody, you know, it sounds kind of like the same way you may have heard it before. But, you know, the way I'm hearing Him say it, it sounds so different to me. You know, we know the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, right? Gentleness and temperance, right? But I'm going to tell you something that it's interesting. That's in Galatians chapter 5, and he shows you clearly, and we know, and we've talked about it before, that one is the work of the Spirit, right? The fruit of the Spirit, and the other, right, is what the work of the flesh is, right? And the work of the flesh doesn't mean that the work of the flesh, it's not talking about when you do bad things, right? That when by your flesh you're physically committing the act of adultery, or by your flesh, you know, you're envying and you're jealous, or you're coveting, or all of these different things that it mentions in Galatians chapter 5 about the works of the flesh. But you know what the interesting thing is, that if you think in your life, there are times in our lives where we try to love people, right? There are times in our lives where we want to be peaceful. So we try to get away from things a little bit, and we try to, you know, maybe find a peaceful place. And we call regularly, we call places like, this is a very peaceful place, and this is peace, and I feel, you know, such peace. So we have all these different ways of how we describe love, joy. Joy is something that the Lord has been teaching us a lot about, you know, and if you really look at it, we've not learned yet where He is the only source of our joy. We would consider ourselves to have joy at different parts of our week and our month, right? Depending completely on the circumstance. Totally dependent on the circumstance. That we're joyous in our life when circumstances are good, and we're not joyous when circumstances are not good. So if you really look at it, it's every single one of the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. Even as Christians with Christ on our mind and the Word of God, you try to be patient. You try to be patient. And we say silly things like, oh Lord, give me patience, right? We try to be patient. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, right? You try to be kind. Goodness, you try to do good things, and you think, you know, that this is really good to do, right? But we don't really realize that the flesh can do none of those things. Because here's the trouble, right? The thing with the flesh is that when the flesh tries to love, it wants to be loved back. You understand? When the flesh loves, the flesh wants to be loved back, and it doesn't appreciate it when it doesn't get loved back. And we know what that feels like, right? You know what it is to love somebody and for them not to love you back, or for you to do something kind to somebody and for them to not appreciate it, and for you to do things for people and for them not to acknowledge what you're doing. And every single time that you notice those things, you've done that in the flesh, otherwise you wouldn't be noticing it. Right? Your flesh cannot do any of those things. To do them, and to do them right, to truly love someone, and we know this and we've been through it, but it's good to touch on it. So, because I think when you understand love, it's easy to understand the other fruits of the Spirit, right? We can't love. We can't love the way love is. True love is really unconditional. True love is Christ, right? True love is Christ, right? True love is God loving us by giving us His only Son when we didn't even care who He was, right? That the love of the Father is unconditional. The Father loves you, and He is not looking for you, right? He's not looking for you to love Him back, right? Now He commands us, right, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. But that doesn't benefit Him; it benefits us, right? It's not for His benefit; it's for our benefit. So we're not doing something for Him. We're doing that. He's giving us that as a gift, right? So that we can receive by faith all that He's given. So it's an interesting thing that when you learn that about love, you really see peace. You know, you can't fabricate peace, right? You can't fabricate peace. Every single one of the fruits of the Spirit have to come from the Spirit of God. And the reason why that's really so important is because there's one specific one that we want to continue in tonight, which is joy. But really, you know what? It's understanding, you know what, Lord? You are the source of my joy. You're the source, Father, of my joy. You are the source of my joy. And to understand that is to see, you know, because we're growing in Christ, your joy is not always full. Because you're growing in Christ, right? But it doesn't take away from the fact that we should not be trying to fabricate joy through our flesh, right? We shouldn't be the kind of people that have the sort of mentality is that, you know what, I just really need to watch something funny so I can have a good laugh. Right? Because joy is really intended to affect everything, right? We kind of said it jokingly last service, but it's really true, right? The joy of God affects your face. It affects you. It affects your face. It makes you smile. It gives you something that is called true joy. You're really joyful. You're really joyful. So when you feel down, right? When you feel down, when you feel sorrow in your life, the way to not feel sorrow is not to try not to be sorrowful or to try to cheer yourself up. You understand the work of the flesh? The work of the flesh is for you to cheer yourself up. So when the first thing that I really wrote down was just really during praise and worship right now, which was good because there's so many things, you know, as you just spend time with the Lord and you're reading, and it's cool when he just always brings those things up. So the source of our joy, and you know what, that there was something that Miss Lindsay was praying that I jotted down too, that you know, and actually we were singing it, and man, if we could sing that whole set again, like it's so chock full of our fullness and what we have with Him, and Lord, You're the only one and no one else but You, right? In when He says no other source, it actually was that song You Never Change, and I think right after that is with when Lindsay began to pray certain things, but to know that He could be the source of your joy, right? He's the source of your love, joy, and your peace, and your patience, and your kindness, and your goodness. You understand that it is because He never changes, and He's always the same, that you have a never-ending fountain. You know, you could love forever. You could be patient forever. You know, the fruit of the Spirit can just endure, and that right there, that's good right there. That word is a good word tonight, right? Endure, because it's what we want to talk about in joy is a joy that endures. It's a love that endures. It's patience that endure. Now, you know, our manifestation or our fabrication, I should say, of patience doesn't endure, right? It's patient for a while and then it's not. It's good for a while and then it's not. It's faithful for a while and then it's not. You know, and you know, on the way here, I was rushing here, and I'm saying, you know what, Lord, I just thought for a second, you know, like, Lord, why do I want to be on time? Why do I want to be on time to church, right? And we would say, well, because you want to be a good example, right? But you don't want to be a good, you shouldn't be trying to be an example, right? You know, when you allow the Word of God to change the way that you think, you question the things that you do. Why do you want to be a good example? Because you don't want people imitating what you do. You want people that have the Spirit of God shepherding their soul, and they're on time, right? And they're doing what they're doing because of the Spirit of God on the inside working through them, not because they're trying to be like you, right? So we you know, there's so many old ways of thinking that linger in your heart that if we really truly allow Him to be the source of our fruitfulness, right? The source of your fruitfulness. We should cease then, and that was the third thing that was important just to start here, is that we should cease from our own fruitfulness, right? Just stop your own fruitfulness, you know? And it's interesting, right? That even in the stopping your fruitfulness, you can't stop. Right? There is a way, and we're going to talk about it, right? To cease from your fruitfulness, and obviously, and that's to let the Spirit of God be fruitful. And we're going to talk about how that's done too. But the thing is, but for you to be able to look at and just think on sometimes the fruit of the Spirit and take that burden off of yourself. You know, it's not your burden to cheer somebody up. It's just not. It's not your burden to try to cheer someone up. It's not your job. It's not your job for you to love someone, right? And we talked about this, in order to try to reconcile something, right? It's just not your job to do it. You can't draw someone to yourself. You can reconcile yourself to them. Right? In other words, if you, and that's in cases, right, where the Bible says, well, if you know that your brother has something against you, then reconcile yourself to that person. In other words, sometimes it could be in the form of an apology or something that they misunderstood or something that caused them to stumble because they saw you doing something. So you can reconcile yourself to someone, and as much as it depends on you, the Bible says, you can do that, right? But if you really know, you know, the earthly carnal kind of love is loving somebody and doing things certain ways because you want them to do it back to you. That is completely and thoroughly the carnal work of the flesh. The flesh always wants payment. And can I tell you something? This is what the Bible says. The Bible says, teaches us that work is work and grace is grace, right? Work always demands payment because work always demands payment, right? When you work by the flesh, you want payment. When you love by the flesh, you want to be loved. When you're patient, right, you want people to be patient with you. There are people that say, and even people that love the Lord and that have been growing in the things that we've been growing in, that say, you know what? All I want is for you to treat me the way I treat you. If I respect you, I just think that I deserve to have the same thing back. What are you doing? You're doing it by the flesh, because that's exactly what you're saying. You're saying, I'm working and I want you to pay me. You see, the flesh always wants to be paid back, always. So you know what, we don't want to go any more in depth in talking about the flesh, because that's not the point, but the idea is just for you to look at things and say, you know what, Lord, I'm growing in you. Because when you question things like that in your life, you know that He's transforming your soul, because it's not normal to you anymore. So it's good when you hear truth, let it question what you're doing. Let it question how you're living. Let it question how you're acting and how things are coming forward, and you'll see how effortless, and this is really how we cease fruitfulness. Let's go where we said we were going to start, right? In John 15, and you know what? We have the greatest gift of all. He said in John 15, 26, He says, when the Helper comes, thank God He's come. Thank God that we have a Helper. And isn't that an awesome title for the Spirit of the living God that lives on the inside of you? He is your helper. Your helper to what? Your helper to help you with every single thing that you're trying to do. Your very life, He is the help that you need. He is the help that you need for love. He's the help that you need for love, joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and every other thing you desire to do in your life. He's your help. He's your helper. He's your helper to give you the desires of your heart. To give you the desires of your heart. You know, the desires of your heart many times are the things that desire to be loved back, the desire for people to be patient for you, that causes you to do things. Cause, you know, I used to think all the time that, you know, I don't get this, you know, when people say that without Jesus you can do nothing, and say, you know what, Lord, people do good things all the time. People do good things all the time. But here's what I know with all certainty now, obviously because we've learned it. There is not a single solitary individual Not even one. There has never been, biblically we know that, there has never been one thing that one person has done that has been without the Spirit of God that has not wanted recompense for what they did. Even, listen, a person that does a good deed that says they don't want recompense, they're trying not to want recompense. You know what I'm saying? They're trying to say, you know what? No, I don't need anything in return. But if you got down to the inside of their gut, they want that. They want it because there is no such thing as the flesh doing something kind. Look at what it is. That's again, Galatians chapter 5, right? There is no such thing as the flesh doing something without it wanting something back. And here's the thing. So much of the fruit of the flesh comes, you know what? When it does something and it doesn't get it back. See, when the flesh loves someone, right? Or lusts for someone. And that certain someone doesn't give them enough as far as they're concerned, they'll go off and get it from somebody else. Adultery begins that way, right? Adultery begins with an incessant desire that is not fulfilled. And the flesh is never fulfilled, right? The flesh is never fulfilled. So it'll keep going and going and going and going. And as more, the more you use it, the more it will continue to want more, right? So envy is the same way, right? Envy starts from you using your flesh and you're doing good things and nobody's looking at me, but they're always looking at somebody else. That's envy, right? You envy says, I'm supposed to get the attention and I'm not getting it, right? So somebody else is getting the attention. You say, well, that you're getting belongs to me, right? Covetousness is to look at what you have and say, nope, what they have looks better. I want that one. I want that one and I desire it and I want it. But thank God that the helper inside of us, right? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us the desires of our heart as we delight ourselves in the Lord. So see, we're the root of everything that we're talking about in ceasing from our fruitfulness so that we don't have to end up in that kind of garbage. It's just really, you know what? It's truly, truly the way the Lord has been speaking to us about delighting ourselves in the Lord, and He'll give us the desires of our heart. The desires that the Spirit of God puts in your heart are not things that are empty or things that are looking for recompense, but because the things that are given by the Spirit of God or by grace. You know what the beautiful thing is? If it is by grace, it's never looking. The grace of God gives. The grace of God on the inside of you will always give and never ask for anything in return. It'll always give. Give and give and give and give and give. Give and give. And it will never ask for anything in return. And then people talk about, you know, turning the other cheek and doing all these things. You know what? An individual in the flesh can never turn the other cheek. It's impossible for you to do it. And if you do it, you're suffering through it, right? So you're not actually really doing it, right? You're trying to fake it as much as you can, but you're not doing it. But it's good to live by the Spirit. So he says in verse number 20, he says, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you, Jesus said, from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He'll testify of me. And we're not going to go in depth into this, but what I just want to point out real quick is that what he's saying is that the primary job, again, and we went over this last service, the primary job that what the Spirit of God does is testify of Jesus Christ. So right there, if you ever ask God to help you, if you ever ask the Lord to help you in anything, if you ever ask God to help you in anything, know already, have a preconceived idea of how He helps you, right? He helps you by the revelation of Jesus Christ and what you have. Right? If you know what you have, you can use what you have. If you don't know what you have and you ask, listen, that verse in Luke is so important. He says that you'd be able to ask. He says, if you ask anything, he says, how will, you know, if you that are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father not give the Holy Spirit to him who asks? See, we minimize that verse because we don't want to just say, like, the Holy Spirit is the answer to every need that you would ask for. You know, we kind of like it read the other way, the way it is in some of the other gospels, where it doesn't say Holy Spirit. It says that if you that are good, you that are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give to them who ask? Right? People love to preach that, but they don't like to preach the one in Luke, right? Because the one in Luke says, give the Holy Spirit to them who ask. And you feel like you're shortchanging people. Like if you tell them that what God has given you is His own Spirit on the inside of you, He's put the fullness of God on the inside of you, people don't preach like that's enough. But can I tell you something? Anything else that you give people, they're going to get a different type of result in their life, and it's not going to be what God intends for them, right? But if you know that the fullness of God living on the inside of us is more than you could ever even ask or think in all of your life, more than you can ever ask or even think is already given to you in the Spirit of God. In all of the blessedness that you have, all of the blessedness that you have, which it's funny that the word blessed, right? When you say, well, how you doing? I'm blessed. The word blessed also means happy. Happy, right? Why? Because in every single thing that we have from God, you have a reason to rejoice. In every single one of the things that you have from God, you have a reason to rejoice. And can I tell you something? We can grow in the knowledge of every single one of them because we've not exhausted any of the things that we have from God. None of them. We haven't exhausted a single one of the things and benefits that we have of God. We haven't exhausted any of them. So look, let's go from here. Let's go real quick into Revelation 21 and verse number 4. Revelation 21 and verse number 4. You know, and it's just good. It's good to read it. He says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. For the former things have passed away. Can I tell you something? What the Lord speaks about in Revelation are the things that you have every right, by the righteousness of God, you've been given the right to partake. You've been given a right to partake of what he just said there. You've been given the right to partake of that. The divine nature of God, you've been given the right to partake of those things. You've been given the right to partake of every tear being wiped away. You've been given the right to partake of no death. You've been given the right to partake of there being no sorrow in your life. You've been given the right to partake of no crying. You've been given the right to partake of no more pain. Why? Because just like he said that the former things have passed away, that happened to you the day you were born again. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In Revelation, he says the same thing. I am the one who makes all things new. The same one who makes all things new in the book of Revelation is the same one that made all things new and gave you his kingdom on the inside. You're new. You're as new as you're ever going to get. You're as new as you're ever going to get. You have the kingdom as much as you're ever going to have the kingdom. So it's an awesome thing to be able to see when he says that he'll wipe away every tear, that there would be no more sorrow. Listen, that there would be no more sorrow. Do you know that you have the right to partake of not sorrowing in your life? That there doesn't have to be any sorrow in your life. And let me show you from where. So if we can go John chapter 16 and verse number 5, right? We're just reading little bits, taking it out of where we read last service, and then we're going to keep going. John 16 and verse number 5. He says, but now I go away to him who sent me. Now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Because I've told you that I'm going away, you sorrow. Because I've told you that I'm going away, you sorrow. Now, so, and that's extremely important, right? Because what he's saying, that's not the only time that he said it. He said it many other times there. But what he's saying there is, because I have told you that I'm going away, you sorrow. And he told them that there will be weeping and sorrow because he's going to the Father. He told them that. And that's a critical thing that he's teaching there, because what he's showing you is that the absence of the revelation of Jesus Christ in your life, you will sorrow. The absence of the revelation of Jesus Christ in your life brings sorrow. That's what sorrow comes from, right? Sorrow comes from darkness. Right? Weeping, right? Sorrow comes from darkness, right? Now there are happy tears, right? But weeping and sorrow that is of the heart that affects an individual comes from where? Comes from darkness. In other words, darkness meaning not knowing. Not knowing, dark, blindness, right? Not knowing. So what he says is, when, you know, and it's interesting because in Colossians, the Lord says to us, and we might as well go there too, to tie it with this, right? He says, sorrow has filled your heart. Sorrow has filled your heart. He says here in John 16, sorrow has filled your heart because I tell you these things. So, you know, it's an interesting thing that Jesus is saying, you know what, if you knew and if you understood really what was happening, you wouldn't sorrow. But why does he give him, listen, it's interesting, why does he give him such an assurance that when he goes, they're going to sorrow? The world is going to rejoice. Christ is crucified and he is dead. And he has ascended now and he is not on the earth, right? The world rejoices at that. But he says, but you will sorrow. He says, a little while and you will not see me, but he said, but you will sorrow, right? Now, why is that? You know why? Because if there is no sorrow in the revelation of Jesus Christ, then why do they sorrow, right? Because they didn't have something that you have, right? Between the time that Jesus ascended, right, and the time that we read, right, where we read from John 15, what were they missing that was critical in their life? Right? They were missing the Holy Spirit in their life. So because they were missing the Holy Spirit in their life, that is why they would sorrow. Because the Spirit of God is the one that is called the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of God is the one that in Colossians did this. Let's go there. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 9. Right? That's what happened to us is what he describes in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 9. For this reason we also, since the day that we heard it, Colossians 1 9. For this reason also, since the day that we heard it, we don't cease to pray for you and to ask that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. Every time you see that, you know that it's faith, right? That's the only thing that pleases God. He says, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work. You know, that only happens, we said, by the Spirit. You can only be fruitful by the Spirit of God. And the way that he told you right there, remember we were talking about ceasing from fruitfulness, ceasing from trying to love, ceasing from trying to be joyful, ceasing from trying to do all of these things by the flesh. He says here that you would be filled, he says, filled, he says, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So it is by the increase of the knowledge of God in your life, the revelation of who Jesus Christ is, that is how you cease from fruitfulness, right? You don't cease from fruitfulness by trying not to be fruitful or by trying not to do it, right? You cease from fruitfulness by delighting yourself in the Lord, right? Learning who He is and what He has done for you and taking hold of those things and keeping on them and allowing the Spirit of God to build on those things that He showed you and then you, right? He's fruitful in your life. You abide in me and I abide in you and you will be fruitful, Jesus said, right? Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might. Strengthened with all might. And we know that when he says strengthened with all might, that comes from what? That comes from revelation of what he's done, right? Be strong and be courageous, he told Joshua. Be strengthened with all might. He says that we are the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. Mighty through God to pulling down walls that stop you from being able to see what God has for you, right? So he says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, right? You're strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy, right? For all patience and long suffering. All those are fruits of the Spirit that he's describing, right? Patience, long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you. Look what he's saying. He names the fruits of the Spirit and then he says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers, right? So the Father has qualified you to be partakers of that divine nature so that that fruitfulness, right, could work through you. So that the fruitfulness of God could work through you, just like we were saying before. Partakers of the inheritance of the saints. But listen to what it says, because it doesn't just stop there. It doesn't just say the inheritance of the saints. It says the inheritance of the saints in the light. The inheritance of the saints in the light, right? And it's in the light, why? Because in the light, or you could say morning, right? In the light or in the morning, and we are sons of light, right? In the light or in the morning is where you see. And when you see, that means it's revealed to you, you're seeing it, right? It's revealed to you, you see it, you hold on to it, you accept it. Right? You always produce a harvest. I will hear it, I will accept it, and I always produce a harvest, right? I hear it, I accept it, and I always produce a harvest because it's effortless what you're doing, what will happen through you, but all that you're doing is what? It says you've grown in knowledge of Him, but He's qualified you by righteousness, right? To be partakers of the inheritance in the light. But look at what He says. He said He has delivered you from the power of what? The power of darkness. You know what the power of darkness is? The power of darkness is blindness. The power of darkness is the devil blinding the eyes so that they cannot see. The power of darkness is blindness, right? The power of darkness is if you can't see, you can't partake. You'll believe what's in front of you. You'll believe what you see. You'll be affected by that which is around you, right? You could be a Christian loving God, you're a tree planted by the water, but when heat comes, you're bothered. Why? Because you're not acknowledging your roots in the water, right? You're not acknowledging what you have. So in the things that we don't see, we suffer or we sorrow, right? And our joy, right, is not there. But why is it? It's just because we're just not acknowledging Him. The more you grow, and we already said, right, He needs to be the source, and Ms. Linda was praying this before, the source, He has to be the source of our joy. The only source of our joy, right? But we're not doing that perfectly right now. So you may notice things like that in your life where you see sorrow and you see weeping and you see things that He says should have an end, right? Or can have an end. But what He's saying is you can partake of those things. He's given you, by righteousness, He's given you the right to partake of all of those things, love and joy and peace, all of those things of no death, right? You've been given the right to do that, right? So He says, here, let's do it again. He says, he's delivered you from the power of darkness. And listen to what He said. He's conveyed you into the kingdom of the Son of His love, which he says there is synonymous with verse number 12, which is in the light, right? But can you see this though? Look at what He's saying. He's saying that He has delivered you from darkness, conveyed you into light. He's delivered you out of darkness and conveyed you into light. So you know what has been given to each one of us? It's been given to us to know. It's been given to you to know. So the more that you grow in the knowledge of God, the more that you're going to be able to partake. But can I tell you something? That doesn't even have to be necessarily said like that or received that way. Because it's almost like, you know what? So you're telling me, okay, I'll do this and then I'll get that. But it's not that. Can I tell you something? It's that as you're delighting yourself in Him, this is something we want to do. It's something that we get to do, that we want to do, and it's not something that we feel like we have to do. Right? When I think about spending time with the Lord and coming to know Him more, I don't think about that as something that I have to do, that's a labor for me to do it. Because again, if we're laboring in that, right? It's not going to get us anywhere. You can't labor to get to know God. There's a huge difference between that and delighting yourself in the Lord. So it's not about us making it a discipline to spend time with God. It's to learn just to delight ourselves in Him. And if you want to know, like, how do you learn to delight yourself in the Lord, right? We were talking about that, but it's just by coming to know what He has done and tasting and see. First, you know what? When you first believe, you taste and you see that the Lord is good. And then after that, you continue to come and you eat what is good. As you continue, and we know this, right? That as you eat what is good, you will accustom yourself to eating that which is good, and that's all that you're gonna want to eat what is good. And it's not that we're not talking about eating healthy, right? Because sometimes, you know, junk food tastes better than eating healthy. So it's not about eating healthy, it's good, He says. When He said taste and see that the Lord is good, it's because anybody that tasted could plainly see God is good. God is good. Look at what He's done. So if you rehearse, you know, like when we started, Miss Lindsay asked me to pray today when we were doing pre-service prayer here, and it just, the Lord brought up to my mind, like, bring to your remembrance all of these good things, the forgiveness of your sin, the way David said, you know, that verse has been on my mind today, the blessedness of a man whose sins God does not impute against him, right? Just so many awesome things that we can recollect in our heart that you know, when you recognize the blessedness of who you are and the blessedness of what He's done. Can I tell you something? Those things bring you joy. Those things bring you joy. So what we're talking about here, and where we're going to end here in just a couple minutes, where we read is, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of His Son. Can I tell you something what that is? When He conveyed us into light, right? He gave us a place where joy abounds, right? Let's read where we had ended, and then we can go into it, and we'll end there in Psalm chapter 30. Psalm chapter 30 and verse number 1. Psalm chapter 30 and verse number 1. And it's awesome to hear how David writes by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, I will extol you. To exalt you, right? He said, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. You know how good that is to know that when you were saved, that the Lord healed you. That when you were saved, right, that you have in you the Spirit of the living God, who is a fountain of life to you. A fountain of life to you. A fountain of life to you. In verse number 2, he says, "Oh Lord, I cried out to you and you healed me. Oh Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave," right? Brought our souls out of death. Brought our souls out of darkness and into light. What a beautiful thing. Could I can't even think like that anymore, but there was a time when my soul was filled with darkness and there was no light, and even the good that I thought that I was doing was still darkness. That's why the Lord says that if the good that you think you're doing is darkness, how deep that darkness is in you, right? Because there's deception there. You think you're doing something good, but yet you have no light. So you think you're doing something good, but even that which you're doing good is darkness. How deep a darkness is that? When you're deceived into thinking that doing good is actually light, but you can't do good and it be light, right? You can't do good and it be light. Light is in the soul of a man and can only be given by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, right? Where He reveals to you. Light can only come from Him. That's why we're called sons of light, right? Because we have the Spirit of God and He leads us into all truth and He opens up so that we can see, and when you see and it's revealed to you, you receive more light. You receive more light, right? And you see more and you see more. Thank God He promises that we see more. "You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. For His anger is but for a moment." And He talks about His anger when he was angry with the people of Israel and He forsook her, right? Isn't it awesome that the anger of the Lord was for a moment, but His favor and the grace of God that we live with now is for life. The grace of God that we live in now is for life. The anger of the Lord was for a moment. In the present time that He was talking about it, it was there. It was the moment. He was living in the moment of the anger of God, right? Even though he lived with grace in his life, right? David lived with grace in his life, yet he lived in a time of the anger of God, where God would forsake His people, right? Because they broke His covenant. But isn't it awesome to know where you are? You are in the part where His favor is for life, where He never is angry at you, not a single solitary day in all your life, never disappointed with you. A single moment in your day is God ever disappointed with you? Not a single moment in your day is God disappointed with you. Look at what it says. It says, "Weeping may endure." And can we stop there before we go for the night, right? Weeping may endure. There is a place where sadness and not joy endures. In other words, it continues. Weeping and sorrow endures and it continues. You know where it endures? It endures, it says it endures in the night. Weeping endures at night. Weeping endures when there is darkness. Weeping endures where there's not a revelation of Jesus. Weeping endures. So anytime, you know, that you look at your life and you say, you know what, Lord, I want to be happy. Isn't it awesome to know that you can partake of joy, right? That you can partake of joy. Just begin to remember. Begin to remember. Put Him in remembrance. Have a time. Sit down and have a time of communion and begin to acknowledge and let the Spirit of God begin to bring things up to your mind. Begin to bring things up to your mind, what you have and who you are, right? Begin to praise the Lord in your home. It's so awesome. He says, "Weeping may endure for a night," but it's awesome to see that joy comes. Joy comes just like faith comes, right? Joy comes. And when does it come? It comes in the morning. Joy comes in the light. Joy comes in revelation. Joy comes in knowing. Jesus would depart and they would not see Him. What happened? They would sorrow. He said, then He would come unto them, and their sorrow, He said, would be turned to joy. Their sorrow, He said, when He would come back, right, by His Spirit and come live in them, He said, your sorrow will be turned to joy. That's us. That's where we live right now. He turned our sorrow into joy. And if there's still remnants of that left in an unrenewed mind, don't let it get you down. Just keep renewing that mind. You know, there'll be moments and there's times that things like that happen in your life. But don't let yourself think that you're just like the world. Don't let yourself think that you're caught in the same problem. That because half of the world is depressed, right, that then that's what's happening to you. You're suffering from depression, right? You have a way way of escape. You've always had a way of escape from the day you were saved. You always have a door. You always have a way. It's always Him. It's always Him. It's always Him. He says, but joy comes in the morning. But joy comes in the morning. He says, now in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. And He's not talking about here just physical prosperity or, you know, monetary prosperity. He's talking about in my prosperity, as I have prospered in my soul, right? He said that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers, He says in 1 John, right? He says that now in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. You know how awesome that is? That you would not, you don't have to be taken away from the gospel. You don't have to have your heart moved away from the things that you know. And if your heart's moved, the Spirit of God can bring you right back. The shepherd of your soul, anytime you call on Him, He brings your soul right back. He brings your soul right back. Can I tell you something? Listen to me. There is so much that your face says. So much that your face says. And when your face is you can tell that there, you know what, there's something that's missing, there's something that's not right. You know what, don't try to cheer yourself up, don't try to do it yourself, don't try, you know, just in the one thing that you can do yourself is encourage yourself in the Lord, right? Encourage yourself in the Lord. Remind yourself of all of His benefits, all the things that He's done, everything that you have. Begin to read the Word of God, worship Him, and you know what He'll start doing? Reminding you. Reminding you. He said He'll bring all those things to your remembrance. He'll remind you. You may not remember right away, but that's okay, because the carnal mind doesn't remember anything right away, right? But if you just put your heart there, He'll fill it.
And that concludes our segment for today. This message was recorded at Harvest Family Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Family Church meets at 10:30 a.m. on Sundays, 7 p.m. on Wednesdays, and 7 p.m. on Fridays. You can get more information about HFC online at bringinginTheHarvest.org, or you can call us at 845-295-4560. Thank you for listening.